back on the Young Turks. Whole new hour, whole new power panel. Drop it. I really think that does sound powerful.
Yep.
All right, Aida Rodriguez, Cenk, Anna with you guys. We have amazing stories for you guys in a second. Let me give member shout outs though first. Ben Bernstein and Joe Bacon, you guys make the show possible. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. We had some great post games for you this week, and Jimmy did a great aggressive progressive this week. We had a wonderful old school. Members get all that commercial free. TYTnetwork.com/join. The Mad Lib writes in, no one high up from the CIA is going to have an honest debate with anyone because they know their policies have been indefensible. Mm-hmm. Enrique Rodriguez writes in, ideology implies you need to have ideas, not Trump's case. That's exactly right, Enrique. Okay,
I like how you say my last name. It makes you say it with a little salsa in it.
Rodriguez.
Yes. I love that. I don't know if, yeah. I think I'm allowed to say people's names in different ways because my name has been said in a million different ways.
Oh, I know.
So I think that I probably broke the record on most different ways to say my name. Because nobody knows it's Cenk, of course. They say Cenk, Cenk, Yank, Hank. My favorite was recently, we talked about it in a post game. I was like, hi. They're like, well, what's your name? Cenk. And they're like, nice to meet you, Yank. I'm like, people usually wait to see it spelled before they screw it up.
Yeah.
what is it about Cenk that makes people want to say anything but Cenk? So again, if you see it spelled, I'm totally with you. Nobody would pronounce that Cenk. But I say it and they're like, okay, nice job, Yank.
The four letter name, my name is Aida, and I mean, I get Aida, but I've been called Audia.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah.
And How about like, Audio? Audio Rodriguez, everybody.
Audio.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I like my real first name, but it's just, it's spelled Anna, like how my name is now, and then Hit at the end. So it sounds like Anna Hit, and I couldn't stand being called Anna Hit. Anna Hit.
Okay.
Heat.
Yeah.
Not Hit.
Oh, Anna, bring the heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Go ahead.
Let's start with a positive update to a story we did earlier this week. The parent company to all Motel 6 locations has issued a statement indicating that none of their motels should be sending guest lists to ICE officials. Now, this was a response to two Phoenix Motel 6 locations that decided to voluntarily share their guest lists on a daily basis with ICE officials, which then led to dozens of undocumented immigrants, or at least dozens of people getting arrested. So, I was like, okay, how is this even allowed to happen? A Supreme Court ruling back in 2015 indicated that ICE officials could not force hotels to hand over this type of information. So they were obviously voluntarily doing it, and the parent company here is not happy about it. So let me give you their statement. Moving forward, to help ensure that this does not occur again, we will be issuing a directive to every one of our more than 1,400 locations nationwide, making clear that they are prohibited from voluntarily providing daily guest lists to ICE. The company will also be undertaking a comprehensive review of practices surrounding staff engagement with law enforcement, making certain that it is done in a manner that is respectful to our guests' rights. Now, it doesn't matter what your background is or whether or not there's any suspicion of you being in the country illegally, they would just straight up send their guest list of everyone to ICE officials. So regardless of where you stand on the immigration debate, keep in mind that if you went to these two locations in Phoenix, they were giving your info to federal agents.
Mm-hmm. So look, this is actually a broader issue, but it doesn't get talked about much. And even Donald Trump intimated on a couple of occasions that he knew what guests that were staying at his properties were saying on the phone. Mm-hmm. In other words, they can, and apparently according to Trump, did listen in on what their guests said. So that's outrageous. And now look, if you go to almost any of the big hotels now, they have cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
So they have that. And then if you're in Vegas, they've got cameras everywhere. So to what degree do they keep your private information as to who's going in and out of your room, what calls you made, what you've done? And now it turns out some of them are working with the government and handing it over to the government. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a disaster in the making.
And the fact that you have to appeal to people and say you're at risk too, so that they can have some sort of
empathy
yes, on them.
It's the sad thing about it that you have to say, hey, your phone number could be given or your information. So, but I just think that this speaks to this, everybody's a sheriff right now. People mm-hmm. who hate everybody who's other, they're all sheriffs right now. They're always policing. The NRA made a statement talking about, and they mentioned comedy clubs. They're policing everything that they want to police comedians.
Yeah.
They want to police everybody. This just makes me sad. I've been talking about this on stage a lot, and I've been getting a lot of backlash. Some of the people here came to see. I really want these white people to imagine if back in the day when the white settlers got here, if Native Americans would have treated them the way that they treat immigrants. Imagine them chanting, sink that ship, sink that ship. Can you imagine if that happened? If they'd be like, no, we don't speak English here. We speak peyote. Imagine if that was the case. There's no empathy because they have no idea. But it's just, it's really sad that that bothers me the most of all is that you have to say, hey guys, you too are at risk for people to have empathy.
I mean, this is vigilantism. Like when we think of vigilante justice, it's usually bloody and physical and violent. And you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be violent to be considered vigilante justice. Who are these hotel employees and what makes them think that it's acceptable to hand over personal information to federal agents, by the way, without the consent of their patrons, people who are paying to stay there.
Yeah.
And also just going back to the whole thing about people policing each other, that's the reason why I was infuriated with the story that we covered yesterday involving a Transylvania University student in Kentucky who created a Facebook page harassing and directing others to harass a DACA student, right, who has been in the country since she was 2 years old.
Yeah.
And she had to deal with all sorts of threats and all sorts of harassment. I mean, come on, can we just be decent to each other?
Yes.
Yeah, so to both of your points, there's some campaign in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey area, where it says something like, if you think something is suspicious, it probably is reported.
Oh yeah.
No, it almost certainly is not. I'm not saying don't report anything. I mean, you see some sort of bag with wires sticking out of it, my God, report that right away, okay? Yeah. But what it does is it encourages vigilantes. Oh, that one looks suspicious.
Yeah.
And why did it look suspicious? I don't know. I guarantee you that an overwhelming percentage of people reported as suspicious had brown skin.
Yeah.
And I also guarantee you and we might certainly look into this and investigate it, that an overwhelming percentage of those people didn't do a damn thing. I would be shocked if that number wasn't above 90% that they didn't do anything. I'd be shocked if they ever found anybody. Like, I don't know, that guy looked fishy to me, I reported it.
We have a case study with Stop and Frisk in New York.
Yeah, really, have we ever caught a terrorist because somebody said, I don't know, he looked fishy. And the cops were like, oh my God, it turns out he's a terrorist. I've never heard of that case, never, not once. How many times have we done a story like, oh, I thought that guy looked fishy, that we kicked him out of a plane, it turned out he was a doctor. Oops.
Yeah.
Right? So, and one more thing to your point, Ida. So New York City had Muslims monitored everywhere under Bloomberg. So not just the mosque, which is already like if you did it to a synagogue, people would be outraged. If you did it to a church, you would have war over, right? Mosque, yeah, of course, invade their mosque. What do we live in a free country? Okay, so people accept that as like obvious, right? Mm-hmm. But then they would go to other places, the community centers, and then to the schools. And we found out that they were even monitoring Rutgers students, even though they're not even in New York. Rutgers is in New Jersey.
Right.
And they were monitoring at the time that Brotip went there, Haas went there. Okay, I still call him Brotip. Anyway, Woke Bay. And they probably reported back, all they do is drink. Okay, so anyway, and the conclusion of all that, once it was revealed, was they had wasted a tremendous amount of money and not had one suspicious person that they found.
Yeah.
Not one. Yeah. All that monitoring, what did it do? It made us paranoid, it made us doubt one another, You know, and at the end, it didn't catch any terrorists at all.
No, imagine if we would have done that. If people of color, after Columbine or that shooting in Colorado, every time we saw a white boy with a backpack, we called, "I see somebody that looks suspicious." Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we did that. It'd be, we'd be called racist all day long. It's just, it's, come on, y'all. Come on, son.
All right. Speaking of racist and xenophobic, let's move on to Facebook ads. Man, Facebook is like,
they're dying.
They're in the middle of a lot of stuff. Okay.
Drops.
ProPublica did an investigation into Facebook ads and the different categories that people looking to advertise their products or services can list their ads under. Now, keep in mind that these categories are usually generated through an algorithm, and that algorithm has to do with what people list as their interests on Facebook. Now, let's see what ProPublica found. Until this week, when we asked Facebook about it, the world's largest social network enabled advertisers to direct their pitches to the news feeds of almost 2,300 people who expressed interest in the topics of Jew hater, how to burn Jews, or history of why Jews ruin the world. So those were actual ad categories on Facebook that advertisers could click on if they want to target certain groups of people. Okay, so this means that there are individuals out there who listed those things as their interest.
What are you guys doing? That's that's like the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I mean, even if you want to cut them every benefit of the doubt that they didn't do enough diligence or what, I mean, you got to catch that, man. This, you can't, I mean, you guys have billions upon billions of dollars. You can't in any way allow that on your site. And now what are they going to do? Of course, they're going to do an overreaction.
Right.
So if you say Jewish in anything on your profile page, they're going to demonetize it or whatever, right? No, no, I'm running a synagogue. Yeah, whatever, I'm just being safe. No, 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 do your job, do your job. It's insane that you had categories like that. And I'd be very curious who advertised on those.
Right, so, okay. That is unclear because remember, this is just an investigation that unveiled these categories, right? And those categories, again, are created by an algorithm based on what people list as their interests on their Facebook profiles. Now, of course, the investigative reporters here wanted to test this to make sure that those categories did in fact exist. Oh, and so here's what ProPublica writes about that. To test if these ad categories were real, we paid $30 to target those groups with three promoted posts in which a ProPublica article or post was displayed in their news feeds. Facebook approved all three ads within 15 minutes. Okay? So after we contacted Facebook, it removed the anti-Semitic categories, which were created by the algorithm rather than by people. And they did release a statement. No, they didn't release a statement. ProPublica continues to write, in all likelihood, the ad categories that were spotted were automatically generated because people had listed those anti-Semitic themes on their Facebook profiles as an interest, an employer, or a field of study. Facebook's algorithm automatically transforms people's declared interests into advertising categories. That doesn't really sound like a sophisticated model.
No.
You know, considering how huge Facebook is and how successful it is, I feel like they need to come up with a better model. Like, I hear you, it's better to have algorithms take charge instead of hiring more people to do things properly, but there's gotta be a happy medium.
It's like when you walk into a bank and all of the people are like so happy to see you and you get that bank account and then you never speak to a person again from that moment on.
Yeah.
That's how Facebook is. My like page, I've been locked out of it. I've been hacked. And I've emailed Facebook over 100 times and I always get an automated response because there aren't people behind it anymore. It's an algorithm, like they say, or algorithms. To connect with a human being that works there, you have to be Russian. I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you connect to people at Facebook?
That's kind of true, yeah.
That's so funny. Okay. So, all right, look, let me defend algorithms a little bit and give a what I consider to be a balanced look. So they need algorithms. You can't just, you can't hire enough people to track. What do they have, 1.6 billion users now? And think about all the content that 1.6 billion people create, because they're not just doing one thing, they're doing multiple things, usually per day on Facebook. So I don't think people are making a case that you shouldn't have algorithms. Of course you need that, right? And so everybody's aware of that. But there's some stuff that it's incumbent upon them to serve their customers better that they put a human touch on. So is it to say that algorithms should never create ad categories? I wouldn't even say that. But should you have a number of employees scouring that to make sure that they're appropriate?
Yeah.
I think that they would probably concede now, yes, that was a massive mistake.
Yeah, so that, I think that would be a good middle ground. If you want to rely on the algorithms to create these ad categories, that's fine. But you need at least like a small group of people to oversee this process and just periodically type in words like Jew hate or whatever it is that these terrible people list as their interest on their freaking Facebook profile. Jesus Christ, people are vicious. Just make sure that you look through this stuff and make sure that there's nothing objectionable or racist, whatever it is.
Yeah. And so guys, we're not asking Facebook to look through everybody's baby pictures and say, is it objectionable, not objectionable, or their posts, is it objectionable, not objectionable. There's plenty of objectionable stuff on Facebook. That's life. But the ad categories, although they could be significant, they've got to be a manageable number that human beings can actually eyeball. Yeah. Because if you think you just get rid of the three anti-Semitic ones now and problem solved, I can assure you it's not. You think there's not Muslim hater out there?
You know what's so crazy though? Through this investigation, ProPublica did not find the same type of ad categories for Muslims. They found the anti-Semitic stuff, but not the Islamophobic stuff.
So maybe there isn't. Maybe they haven't gotten around to it yet. And it's not a they; it's an algorithm. And again, it just Mark Zuckerberg runs Facebook. They didn't write on purpose Jew hater. It was the computer that did it. We're looking for better safeguards. Okay, so you know. I don't know that ProPublica looked at every single thing, on race, on all the different categories, and it's possible that they missed stuff too. And so, if they didn't find anything on Islamophobia, great, awesome, I'm surprised, but right. Wonderful, right? but by the way, hate crimes are tracked, and we think, hey, they spiked on Muslims and they did, and Latinos, and yes, that's true, but. Oftentimes, still leading in those categories is anti-Semitic attacks, and that never goes away. And look at it now. I mean, there aren't that many conspiracy theories about how the Hindus run the world, or the Muslims run the world. They're like, Muslims are bad, they're terrible, they're by their nature this, that, etc. Right? But do they run the world? Nah, not really. Right? But the thing about the Jews running the world and the banks and the media and all that stuff never goes away. And it's apparently so prevalent, the algorithm's like, boy, this is really popular. So you got to safeguard it, man. You can't. And then in terms of the interactions that people have, you're not alone, Ida, in having that frustration with not being able to reach a human.
Oh man.
And look, I know that they can't run after 1.6 billion people because they might have to hire 1.6 billion people to run after them. But at the same time, there's got to be a little bit better way so that people aren't pulling their hair out when something goes wrong and they can't get a response. So yeah. it's a giant enterprise and giant problems. But we got to start tackling these.
There was a video that was being circulated with a young black girl being hung.
Oh my God.
These guys that were with these Confederate flags behind her, and that video had been shared so many times, and they were sending it to the inbox. They sent it to me, and then we found out that it was a promo for a porno.
Oh, yeah,
but it was horrific, and it was circulated over and over and over again, and people on my Facebook page, and people were talking about it at comedy clubs, and they were just saying they keep pushing this video, and it's But it's still out there. So at some point there has to be, I mean, I understand 1.6 billion people, but it's also a very profitable company and you're making money. So some of that money has to go back into the maintenance and the security of those 1.6 billion people, you know?
And by the way, purely automated decisions either way is not a good idea. So like I said earlier, I guarantee you right now there's gonna be an overreaction and they're gonna say, okay, anything that is mildly controversial, like if you say racism, but you're fighting racism, that's it, we're shutting it down. Yeah. Okay, we're shutting it, and not necessarily taking the post off, but if you're writing an article about it, you're making a video about it, oh, demonetized, don't panic, right?
Yep. Yeah.
No, there is a need for human judgment. We still have some relevance in the world. So we got to the best of their abilities, they got to use it a little bit more apparently.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, a sixth grader in Michigan refuses to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance. What kind of action was taken against him? And lots of other stuff later on in the show.
Stuff.
You don't want to miss it.
All right, back on the Young Turks. We got good news for you guys that just came across, so I didn't read the whole thing. Just calm down. I'll read you the headline. Calm down, okay? Federal judge blocks Trump from denying funds to sanctuary cities. Hey, a little bit of good news there. Okay, God bless. incoming angry tweet in 3, 2,
oh, it's 1. Probably already happened.
Right.
Who's probably a Mexican judge.
Loser judges. I'm gonna stop judging.
Okay. All right. A Michigan teacher has been suspended following an incident where he allegedly violently snatched a sixth grade student from his chair after he refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. According to reports, the sixth grader, Stone Chaney, was sitting in his homeroom class at East Middle School. This is in Michigan, Farmingham Hills. In his first week at the school, when he was grabbed from behind by this teacher. The teacher consultant comes up behind me and snatches me out of my chair violently. I was so confused, I didn't know what was going on. That was a statement from Stone Chaney himself. And so this is kind of crazy, like teachers shouldn't put their hands on students, period. But apparently this teacher was a former member of the military, he's a vet. He did release a statement about this and here's what he had to say. His name is Stevens, that's his name, Steven Stevens. Okay. Anyway, that's
fine. It's kind of a fun name, actually, for a sad story.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to graphic 17. He says, I would love to be able to talk to them and, you know, try to get their side and try to explain my side. So maybe we can come to an understanding, because I understand that they have the right to do that, meaning the right to not stand during the Pledge of Allegiance. But I don't believe that they understand what that right really entails. But here's the thing, even though Stone Chaney is just a sixth grader to some, he has thought this through. He never stands for the Pledge of Allegiance because, as he says, I don't stand because I don't pledge to a flag, I pledge to God and family.
Oh, damn. Ooh, you snatched up the wrong person.
Man, plot twist.
isn't that funny? Because if you're a thoughtful progressive and you're not standing for the pledge because you think that, and you might love the country, but you think that that kind of patriotism is misguided because it can lead to jingoism, whatever it is that you, your reason behind it, or you want to improve the country and you're making a point like Kaepernick and the others have done in the NFL. People are like, oh yeah, they had it coming, right? But if it turns out the kid was doing it for religious reasons, oh, sorry, oh, I didn't know that, because that's okay. Yeah, you know, being progressive and thoughtful is not okay.
Absolutely.
But being religious is awesome, so my bad, I got the wrong kid. I meant to commit violence against someone else.
What I want to know is when, I always pay attention to people's words, because he said they, if I could only get them and they, who is they? Are you talking about black people? Because Colin Kaepernick is not standing for the flag when a bunch, what, thousands and thousands of white Jehovah's Witnesses don't pledge to a flag.
That's right.
Are you snatching them up?
Let's keep it real, okay?
Absolutely.
The Americans who are the most critical about Colin Kaepernick, who go to those football games, are usually at a concession stand, at the toilet taking a leak, or scratching their asses as the national anthem is taking place.
And I will
agree. Let's just keep it real, because I've been to these sporting events, not football games, but definitely baseball games, over and over and over again. And I see the same thing. People don't take it seriously.
I was married to a professional football player, and during the national anthem, that's social time. That's when everybody's talking and chilling, going to get their snacks so that they don't miss the kickoff. That is when people are going to get their beers. You know what? I'm just so tired of people masking racism with patriotism. Patriotism means if I don't believe in what's happening right now, I disagree. The fact that we have the right to do that in this country, that's what being a patriot is. Saying, I am American, but America sometimes doesn't get it right. That is what being a real patriot is, not blind patriotism where it's, I do everything that the people who I want to preserve, the group that I belong to who feels like what they're being extinguished. Is that what white people are saying now? These white people are saying Twitter is hell, and I have to stay away from it. They're wiping us away. They want to erase us. No, we just want to be visible. We just want to be seen. Colin Kaepernick is standing up for people who don't stand up for him. He doesn't even have to.
It's interesting because actually exactly a week ago, we did a story. And it's not based on our thoughts or our feelings. It's based on numbers. There was a study done into religion in America. And the study found that the population that's declining is white individuals who identify as Christian. So less and less white Americans identify with Christianity. And simply by covering that story, people lost it.
Of course.
As if we're the ones convincing white Americans to stop believing in Christianity. They're doing that on their own, okay? So you can go ahead and blame us all you want, but that's what's going on.
So I'll tell you real quick that, you know, back when I was a Republican and I was younger, I was wrong on this issue. I remember being super mad at Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who wouldn't stand for the pledge. Now, when I saw Stone Chaney did it for religious reasons, I thought Seventh-day Adventist too.
Yeah.
You know, and because that's often who does it. But he was Muslim. He used to be Chris Jackson, and then he changed his name. And he wouldn't stand because of that. And I thought, no, but America gives you the rights and the abilities to make that statement, so it's so disrespectful to not. But then I realized later, like, wait a minute, look at the irony of what I just said. America gives you the right to not stand for the pledge, so then why am I getting all bent out of shape that he's not standing for the pledge? That's the whole point. And in fact, I now think there's at least an argument to be made that it is more patriotic, not less patriotic, to not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem, because you're making a statement about the freedom that you have in this country.
Yeah, and I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, and I did Pledge of Allegiance even though I wasn't supposed to, because they used to shame me for it because I was brown. And teachers would say things to you like, why don't you want to pledge to the flag? They let you come here. Like, they would say things like that, so they would shame me. So I'm standing there and I'm like, I hope my mom doesn't walk in because I'm going to get in trouble. But you're not Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't pledge allegiance to the flag.
And let's just note the final irony of they let you come here.
I know.
Wait a minute. If you're Latino, there's some chance you were here first.
Puerto Rican. It's the Commonwealth.
Right. I mean, if you were from the islands, and Christopher Columbus landed, you know, I'm pretty sure you were here first. Besides, it was Christopher Columbus was Latino.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at least covering a lot of the people on his ship because he came from Spain were from Spain. He happens to be Italian. But so they let you come here. Like, and then people always talk about, like, oh, why don't they speak English? Look at California. Why do you think it's called San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles? Because all we had was Spanish people here and Latinos here. Anyway, all right.
Well, after I did that election night with you guys, I can't tell you how many tweets I got with people telling me, you're gonna get deported. Go back home. Go back where you. They're like, go home. I was like, you want me to go to Boston? Because I was born in Boston. Like, but I got a lot of that.
I know that that ignorance. I mean, it exists. But what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? All right. A group of individuals planning on protesting in D.C. very soon, this weekend actually, are a group of people who refer to themselves as Juggalos. They are fans of Insane Clown Posse, and what they're protesting has to do with how the government classified them a couple years ago. They were classified as a gang, and they disagree with that. And as a result, they are fighting to have that classification taken away. So just to give you an idea of who they are, despite a sizable population of female fans who are dubbed the Juggalettes, ICP's or Insane Clown Posse's following is made up mostly of young white men from working class backgrounds. They tend to feel like they've been misunderstood outsiders their whole lives, whether for being overweight, looking weird, being poor, or even for just liking Insane Clown Posse in the first place. It's a world where, by the way, this is not something that I'm saying. This is by Brian Rafferty on Wired. He writes that it's a world where man boobs are on proud display, where long hairs and pink hairs mingle, where nobody makes fun of the fat kid toweling off. Okay, so just to go back real quick, back in 2011, the Justice Department's National Gang Intelligence Center decided the Juggalos were a, quote, loosely organized hybrid gang like the Crips, Bloods, and MS-13. Wow. The annual gang threat assessment report said they engaged in criminal activity and violence. Okay, so let's stop for a second.
But you know,
they're not a gang. They're not. Like, a couple of them have broken the law or have done violent things, but they don't have like some sort of like, they're not an organized criminal thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, first of all, they don't make any money.
I just think it's too soon to it. It came out, they got those clown faces. It feels like a little promotion for the movie. Yeah. But I think it's messed up. But I think sometimes these things need to happen for people to gain empathy. A group of young white men, working class, classified as a gang, like
they're being stereotyped.
They're being stereotyped.
Oh, it sucks to be stereotyped.
Okay. So I have a confession. I was almost a Juggalo. So not a gigolo though. I had no chance there. So I used to listen to Insane Clown Posse and I liked it. And so I looked into the Juggalo life. No, I read a little bit about the Juggalos because that's, you know, they talk about it all the time in the songs, mm-hmm. and it's about that lifestyle, etc. And yeah, they're you know what they're like? They're more like hooligans that are soccer fans in Europe, uh-huh. and then they'll go and they'll cause trouble. Now, do all of them do this? Of course not. It is some percentage, and I don't know what the percentage is, of Juggalos that go and will mess stuff up, right? Like, and I don't know why soccer fans do it either. They'll be like, okay, we're here, let's just break stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And call ourselves hooligans. That is what they're really similar to. But I never thought like Juggalos, potential terrorists, we should monitor them, right?
Yeah.
And MS-13 cuts people's heads off.
On YouTube.
Right, so Juggalos might do something stupid, but they're not going to cut people's heads off.
And they don't do it as a group. Like, again, group of people, regardless, is going to have a couple individuals who break the law, do violent things. But to just generalize about all of them is crazy, I think.
Yeah, and if they put them in the group with like organized crime, that's by almost definition, they are not organized.
Yeah.
There might be crime here or there, but that's not their point. So bring it down.
Well, that's where we're headed, though. That's where we're headed. If we continue the way we're going with the administration, we're all under scrutiny all the time.
Yeah. All right, we got to run. Much love, guys. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.